today on Living on Every Word.
I can be in the storm and think that Jesus is truly asleep, or that Jesus is not even there, and shake my fist and say, "Do you not care that I'm going through this? Do you not care?" Listen, I belong to God, and God cares. He cares. He knows what we're going through. He's promised to be there.
When you're going through one of life's storms, you may find yourself asking, "Where is God right now?" Or, "Does God even really care?" Well, today, Pastor Mike Fritcher reminds us about what God says about us and the certainty of our future in part three of Moving Through Life's Storms.
Living on every word.
We all go through storms, don't we? Storms have come. Storms will continue to come. You know, Paul said it. We said it a couple weeks ago. We talked about this in depth last week. That Paul made a presumption. Paul shared a word, and the word was, if we go on this journey, this ship's going to be lost, and lives will be lost as well. And we talked about, he was halfway right. And we talked about, you know, when things start to boil, and things start to come, and trials start to come our way, we begin to make statements about tomorrow. We begin to make statements about the future. How many times that you've gone into a beginning process of a trial and you've begun to say, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be horrible. This is going to be nasty. This is not going to work out right. Well, let me just say, how many times in your life have you come to the end of that and it didn't happen the way you thought it happened? How many times? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next week. And what happens is that we take this look about what we think is going to happen, and we make these statements, and we get angst over it, and we get worried, and we fear, and we'll go maybe a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, worry, worry, worry. We get to this place, and everything's okay. And what's happened is we've looked at the circumstances, we've looked at what's been going on, and based on those circumstances, we've assumed some things in the future. And what happens is our mind has been in the future that we've missed the moments that God gives us today to worship Him, to love Him, and to love our neighbor as ourself. How many times have I, as a pastor, have walked in worry and fear and anxiety and missed the moment to love that person before me? Well, lots of times. Over assumptions of things that never happened. Trials come. They do come, and they will come. But to assume of what those trials will do, other than what God says they will do, which is the third thing we saw a couple of weeks ago, is that He will use all these things for His glory and His honor. We know that for sure. And that's what we bank on. We bank on what God says. Therefore, we come to this place, to the throne room of grace in our lives. We find mercy, we find grace, and we hold fast the confession. And what is that confession? Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over this circumstance. He is Lord over this season. He is Lord over this day. He is Lord over this diagnosis. He is Lord over this word where finances we're struggling in, or this word of a job lost. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord today. He will be Lord tomorrow. He has been Lord in our lives before. Amen. And when I acknowledge that, something supernatural takes place. I'm not saying that maybe the circumstances change. Matter of fact, the storm that they're in gets worse and worse and worse. Things don't get better. But there's something going on in Paul's life, Paul's heart. Look at verse 21 of Acts 27. We're in Acts chapter 27. These are the things that we want to remember when we're moving through the storms of life. Verse 21, when they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage." What? We're losing the ship here. We're throwing cargo out. We've sailed these kinds of winds, and it's bad. And you're telling us to take courage? Yes, I am. Why? Because he says, Yet now I urge you to keep your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and the God to whom I serve stood before me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, because I believe it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I believe that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. A couple of things to remember. Number one, remember who you belong to. You belong to God. You belong to God, which makes you important to Him, which means He cares for you. You belong to God. The scripture we saw a few weeks ago, and when we mentioned this kind of point, is 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body. You belong to God. Now, when I think of God, and you think of God, we think of things like He's our Father. So that means if we belong to the Father, we're His child, right? We are His child. You look at God and you say, He's our shepherd. What does that mean? He's a good shepherd, and we belong to Him, so we are His sheep. He's our Savior, so you are His saved. He is our husband. You are His bride. And this is this great God who cares for you. Now, a lot of times when we go through trial and struggle, we make statements that aren't true. Like, where's God? Where is God? Or, God's punishing me for something. I got to figure out what that is. Have you ever had that? God's punishing me for something I did in the past. Listen, trials come. Bible says He reigns on the just and the unjust. Now, if there's some things that are wrong in your life, you need to take those things that are happening in your life and to ask, God, is there anything in my life? But let me tell you, there's some people like Job, who was the most godly man around, innocent, blameless of all things, and yet what happened to Job in his innocence, right? As a matter of fact, his friends came along and said, you've done something wrong. That's why you're in this mess. As a matter of fact, they kept telling him that, kept telling him that, kept telling him that there was something wrong in his life for these things to be happening. So what we do is remember we belong to God, and we know that this God cares for us. And we want to remember that in the midst of trials, and James says various trials, right? He doesn't say, listen, when you get a trial, rejoice. No, he says various trials. I don't know about you, but various things seem to come my way. When something comes, it just seems like there's something else. But we're to take courage because we have a God who we belong to. You belong to Him, and He cares for you. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew chapter 6. If you turn there, keep your place in Acts chapter 27, please. And go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 is where we'll begin. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried, anxious, fretful about your life, as to what you're going to eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Hey, take a look at the birds of the air. They don't even sow and they don't even reap and they don't even gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Are you not worth much more than birds of the air? But you know, I can be in the storm and think that Jesus is truly asleep in the boat, or that Jesus is not even there, and shake my fist and say, do you not care that I am perishing? Do you not care that I'm going through this? Do you not care? How many times have we said that in our heart? How many times have I said that? But that's the assumption we make. Listen, I belong to God, and God cares. He cares. He knows. He knows what we're going through. He's promised to be there, as we're going to see in just a moment. Are you not worth much more than these birds, that they don't sow, reap, gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? You worry about life, adding a single hour, right? Father knows. You can't add another hour to your life by worrying about it and being anxious about it and angst. And yeah, don't get me wrong. I think there's some healthy things that we need to be doing in this life, but not so much to live longer as much as it is to serve God with all our strength and to love Him with all of our strength. Not that it's about me, but it's about the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God in order to be healthy. Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Or how long will we live? For the Gentiles, the world eagerly seeks these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. What a powerful word. What a powerful word that Jesus would speak to us. This whole thought of me belonging to Him and who I am in Him. He cares for us. And that's what Paul says. Paul says, hey, the God whom I belong to has told me something, has spoken to me. The God whom I belong to, and the second thing he says in Acts chapter 27, is the God whom I serve. So remember, I belong to God. Now listen, some of you are going through a time right now, okay? You just are. I think a good confession to make during this time is to say, I want to thank you that I belong to a caring, loving God. Is that good? I belong to a loving and caring God. He cares for me. He cares for my wife, my husband. He cares for my children. He cares for my grandchildren. He cares for the people around me. He cares for our church family. This God who cares knows what I go through. Knows about the eye problem, knows about the dog bite, knows about the broken arm, knows about the death, knows about the fire, knows about everything, and He cares. Can God snap His finger and change things? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. He is a great, mighty God and can do these things. And sometimes He's done that. Sometimes He's done that in your life, right? But God doesn't always choose to do that. And it's not for us to get mad at Him, angry at Him. He cares. And I want to remember that. I want to remember that I'm a part of the kingdom of God, His kingdom. He's invited me to be a part of His family. And therefore, the people in my life that are believers in Christ, my family, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And they go through the same things that I go through. It may just have a little different face to it. We all struggle. We all do, but we belong to God. Is that right? The second thing we've got to remember is that that's who we serve. We serve who we belong to. Let me ask you, what do you serve in this life? Who do you serve? Paul made it very clear, I serve God. Matter of fact, when you go to the Old Testament, you see one of the very first commandments is that you don't serve other gods. You don't worship and serve other gods, because what you serve is what you worship. What you worship is what you serve. And there's a lot of things that we have opportunities to serve. I mean, we can serve this flesh. I mean, that's, I think, what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6. He's saying, listen, don't worry about the things that are on your body, clothing, the things that go into your mouth, food. Don't worry about the extent of your life. Don't worry about those things. Listen, when we worry about those things, we wake up one day and we realize we're serving these things. We're serving the wardrobe. We're serving the food. We're serving the money. We're serving the job. We're serving and worshiping these things. Our money, our job, our flesh, our feelings. Never worship those. We serve a risen Savior, is what he says. And when I get that in my mind, in my heart, and I'm walking in this life, and I realize that I serve no man, I serve no people, I serve God. And out of that, I might serve somebody, I might help somebody, I might be that servant or will be that servant, but I serve God first. So if I serve Him first and I'm in danger, what does that mean? It means that I'm just trusting Him. And I'm speaking this life into myself by saying, God, you are mine, and I belong to you, and I serve you. You know, you belong to God, which makes you important to him. You serve God, which makes him important to you. How important is God to us? By my service and my worship, I show that. This is in the midst of a trial. Notice on the screen in John chapter 12, verse 26, it says this, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Now watch this. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now notice it. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. So if I'm serving God, I'm following him. And if I'm following him, wherever he is, I am. Listen. You belong to him and you serve him. And when you're serving him, the Bible is saying, listen, that's where I am. Wherever you're serving me, that's where I am. And Paul could say it like this, I'm serving my God even on this ship about to be shipwrecked. And if I'm serving him, I'm following him. If I'm following him, our God is right here. And I got to remember that God is never, ever far from me. Matter of fact, he is ever present. In other words, what you'll find is in this scripture is that God will say, listen, this angel of God has come to me in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this storm, in this midst of the struggle, that in the midst of it, God is here and he's speaking. And I don't know about you. But when I go through the hard times and I look back, what I celebrate most is how well I heard God and how much God spoke to me. The psalmist said, God, if you're deaf to me, if you're mute to me, I'm like one who is a dead man. I need you to speak. And if I'm serving God, God cares for me. I care for him as I serve him. And where I serve him, there he is in my midst. Therefore, I want to remember that I'm never out of his presence. And there's great benefits of his presence. Matter of fact, these benefits, the benefits of his presence is supernatural. Turn to Psalm 139 for just a moment. Psalm 139. And notice the ever presence of God. Psalm 139. David says in verse 7, Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I even flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, watch this, your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. And even if I say, surely the darkness is overwhelming me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Where can I run from God? Where can I be in my circumstances that God is not there? If I've got circumstances like I'm in Sheol or circumstances that are like hell, and we've all had those, he's there. He's right there in the midst of your pain, your heartache, and your personal hell. He's there. And if I'm on the mountaintop of glory, mountaintop of provision, mountaintop of health, he's there too. He's there too. Deepest sea, farthest place, remotest place. And listen, folks, don't just look at this as something physical, geographical. Look at it as a soul geography lesson. My soul is sometimes feels so far away. And I say, where is God? And he's here. He's right here. You can't go from his presence. Matter of fact, Paul will say, listen, nothing can separate you from this. Nothing. No sickness, no diagnosis, no bad word. Nothing can separate you from it. Nothing can separate you from it. That's why he says in this great psalm, I am omnipresent. I'm everywhere. Just be aware of it. Just acknowledge it. Just confess it. Yes, he is here. I want to remember that God is here. And for Paul, he gets to see it in the form of an angel. Angel comes and says, I'm here to tell you that you're not going to die. Matter of fact, none of you are going to die. Matter of fact, I've given all these folks to you. You know, that's a pretty neat scripture there. I don't know what that all means. I think most people would say that means they're going to be saved too. I kind of think it means not only they're going to be saved from this, but they're going to find Jesus. I've given all these men to you, all these men, all these people to you. And you're going to appear before me. And therefore, he was able to say, hey, this God whom I belong to, who cares for me, the God whom I serve, I care for him, is right here speaking to us. Right here ministering to us. Because nothing, not even this storm, can separate us from his great love, from his great power, from his great presence. You are never out of his presence. I want to remember that. I belong to God. I serve God. I don't serve myself. And I'm never, ever out of his presence. Go to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. You know, Romans 8 is such a fantastic passage of scripture. I mean, it just talks about victory. It talks about deliverance. It talks about who God is and what God does and how he works and how he moves. I want you to notice something about verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. You remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about confessing him as Lord and Jesus confessing us before the Lord when we confess him before men? I have Jesus, you and I have Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying for us right now. Praying that we'd get what we need to get today. Praying that we'd have understanding. Praying that we'd have victory. Because that's what this passage is going to point to, how we overcome. How we overcome as we look to the victor's crown. But he says he also intercedes for us. What does that mean, also? Well, he's already said in verse 26, look at 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So I've got Jesus interceding for me, interceding for you, interceding for Cottonwood, interceding for your place, interceding for the things that are important to you. Hey, listen, God understands, God knows, God cares. He does. He cares what you're going through. And the Holy Spirit's in your life interceding for you according to the will of God. The Spirit of Jesus is interceding for you at the right hand of God. Not necessarily to cease the storm outwardly, but definitely to cease the storm inwardly. Jesus promises to get us through. Please don't think that that's just your flesh. It may not be your flesh. It has to do with your eternal soul. Listen to me. This body is temporal. It's going to die unless Jesus comes. It's getting old, okay? Getting older. We're all moving toward death of this body. And if I go through a trial, I just want you to know, maybe God might come along and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to give you life in this, so don't worry about it. He might say that, just like he said to Paul. But let me tell you this. Disciples, when they came to Christ, they were ready to die for him. And just because Jesus died on the cross at 33 didn't mean that God did not bring him through. And just because Peter was crucified, according to history, and hung upside down, having just seen his wife die of crucifixion, doesn't mean that God didn't see him through. Matter of fact, God saw him through. Confessing him as Lord while he's dying. I know this is just history. I don't know if this is really true, but historians say that when Peter's wife was dying, he kept saying, remember our Lord. Remember our Lord. Remember our Lord. And then they hung him on a cross upside down and crucified him. I think James died in India, speared through. Did God see him through? You bet God saw him through. He persevered to the end, didn't he? Listen, it's not about this flesh that's going to die one day. It's about the mortal soul, the immortal soul that lives within you, that is you, that lives forever. And that's what God promises to see you through. And the quicker that I decide to emphasize what's eternal, it's the quicker I find the peace that God has for me. I want to remember that. I want to remember when I'm in a doctor's office. I want to remember that when I'm going to surgery. I want to remember that when there's things going on in my children's life that are just so hard. I want to remember that maybe the storm outwardly may not cease, but the storm inwardly, he comes to say, hush, be still. I'm here. I'm right here in the midst of your storm. How do we get there? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul said, I believe he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Okay. And, you know, this is what he promises. Verse 16 of chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, though there's tribulation on every side, persecution, trials in our lives, although our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Look into the mirror today, and you already have, and you're looking at something temporal. Weaker eyesight, grayer hair, love handles a little bigger. It's temporal. You look at your circumstances, temporal. Why? Because this life is temporal. You look at the storm, temporal. Have you ever said, this too shall pass? It's true, it will. It'll pass. Ultimately, it always passes. The question is will I push through and trust God through it to hear Jesus say, I'm giving you my peace because I've overcome this and I've overcome this world. And to walk in that peace the rest of my life. To walk in this peace and this trust to God. And this is the key. I get my eyes off the temporal and I look at that which is eternal. Momentary light affliction, producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, it's not about my physical body that God has promised to push me through. It is the eternal soul that's not seen. And I want to get my eyes on that. On the eternal God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who wore the victor's crown and overcame. That's where I want my eyes to be fixed. Because when they're fixed there, you can be like Paul. It doesn't matter how many times you get beat with rods. How many times you get beaten with the cat of nine tails. It doesn't matter how many times you get thrown in the deepest dungeon. And folks, please, I'm not talking about just physical stuff. There are times we feel like we've been beaten with rods. And it feels like we've been in the deepest dungeon. Some of you may be there today. I'm asking you. I'm praying for me and for you that we get our eyes off the temporal and onto the victor's crown. The victor's crown. He is Lord. And supernatural things happen because he's Lord. And supernatural things I believe God wants to do in your life this very day because he is Lord.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living